pills can be forgotten. Condoms have an 18% failure rate. You can get pregnant during your period, and research shows that 75% of 17 to 25-year-olds have had sex without the use of contraception. I'm Jess Redden, and I'm a newly qualified pharmacist. I'm passionate about young people empowering themselves with the right medical information they need to make the right decisions for their contraceptive and sexual health. In this four-part series, My Contraception and Sexual Health, supported by Bayer, I talk to four healthcare professionals to learn and to share with you what we need to know about our hormones, sexual health, and contraceptive options as young adults. Contraception hands us our sexual freedom, provided we know how our bodies work. Choose the right contraceptive option to match our needs and protect ourselves from sexually transmitted infections, which is why we created this series, and you can find further information on mycontraception.ie. The opinions shared in this podcast are those of the individual healthcare professionals and are intended as general information only. It is not intended to replace a consultation with a healthcare professional, nor is it intended to provide specific medical advice. Always speak to your doctor or nurse for personal medical advice. The pill is probably the most well-known form of short-acting contraception, but it is not the only option. In this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Aideen Lysett, the medical director at UCD Medical Centre, to learn more about the range of short-acting contraceptive options. We challenge some myths, discover some truths, and she explains what happens at a contraceptive consultation. So firstly, thank you so much, Aideen, for joining me today. To get started, would you be able to tell us a little bit about the most common forms of short-acting contraception?
Sure, Jess, yeah. So I suppose the short-acting contraceptives, I would break them down into two different groups. There are the non-hormonal contraception types, and then there are the hormonal contraceptives. The non-hormonal ones, again, they break down into things that we know about condoms. There is a thing called a diaphragm, which is a little plastic ring which is inserted and sits like a little cap over the cervix, which women can put in hours before they plan to have sex. And it's not a highly effective form of contraception, but it has an effectiveness. The other methods then that are non-hormonal would be fertility awareness techniques, such as the natural family planning, Billings method, and then the withdrawal method. All of these methods, I suppose, they would be okay if pregnancy were to be a happy accident, but they don't have a high level of effectiveness. And certainly for the age group of I work in a university setting, and for the age group of people that I'm working with, they're really not, I would not consider them to be an effective enough contraceptive for them. The other thing I suppose I'd say about condoms is, if you ask a doctor's never going to suggest that you use condoms as a contraceptive. They have an effectiveness as a contraceptive, but they are really very effective in helping people to protect themselves against sexually transmitted infections, which is where a doctor will recommend using condoms. So then you kind of move over to the hormonal types of contraception, and the hormonal contraceptions that is short acting, there is essentially the pill. And internationally, the pill pill has been used all around the world by millions and millions of women. It has stood the test of time. It is an effective form of contraception. Originally developed right back in the 1950s, and there are two types. There's basically the ones that contain estrogen and progesterone, and the ones that are progesterone only. The ones that contain estrogen and progesterone, they would break down into the combined pill, the patch, and the ring. And the way they work is they stop ovulation. So if you're taking it properly, you're not going to ovulate. If you're not ovulating, you're not going to get pregnant. They can also have some effects on the environment, how your cervix behaves. So they can also stop sperm being able to get into the uterus. The progesterone-only pill only contains progesterone, as it says on the tin. And this particular type of pill, it only changes the environment for the vast majority of people, it only changes the environment in and around the cervix, so sperm can't penetrate. It is an effective form of contraception, probably not as effective as the combined pill, but it's, you know, there would be in the same territory there in terms of effectiveness. It is suitable for people who can't have estrogen. And some people who have maybe a particular type of migraine, a very high body mass index, or particular types of clotting disorders, they can't have the combined pill. So this particular pill is very suitable for them.
And that's because, so they can't take estrogen. So is there also people who maybe have a history of breast cancer in the family? They might be someone who would be
recommended. Yeah. I mean, people with a history of breast cancer, it doesn't actually preclude you from taking the combined pill with estrogen. But a lot of people, particularly with a strong family history of breast cancer, they will prefer to steer clear of estrogen if they possibly can. And we would usually guide them that way if they have concerns in that regard.
And then, so you can tell me a little bit maybe about what a typical consultation with the patient would involve and how you can best prepare for this.
I suppose, you know, as doctors, we tend to multitask in our consultations. So, you know, you get the patient in and you're looking at their contraceptive needs, but there may be other things that will arise in the course of the contraception. There may be other things that are bothering that particular person. So, for instance, somebody's coming in, they're looking to go on the pill, but I notice that they have really bad acne.
Yes.
And, or I notice that their body mass index is going to be over 30, or, you know, there may be other issues. So as doctors, we always, you know, we're always looking for opportunities to promote health. So the person comes in and, you know, sometimes people will say, oh, can I not just get a prescription for the pill? It just takes 2 minutes to write a prescription. But a consultation with the doctors is far more holistic than that. And there's a lot of observation going on and thinking about, you know, sexually transmitted infections and educating people in relation to how they may protect and prevent themselves from sexually transmitted infections. This is all going on in the course of a consultation. So the patient comes into the room and they meet the doctor or the nurse. In our practice here, our nurses do quite a large amount of our contraception prescribing. And you will talk to the patient, we'll address any concerns they have. Are they happy with the pill that they're on? Then we will always check, and it's very important that we have a recording of their blood pressure and their body mass index in the last 12 months. Then we'll go over the different options. And for instance, if somebody had particularly bad skin, we would usually choose a pill that we know to have a hormone content that is going to be beneficial for their skin. If somebody has a history of clots or thrombosis, we would guide them towards maybe a progesterone-only contraceptive. The other thing we will do in all consultations is we'll always ask patients if they're aware of long-acting reversible forms of contraception. Yeah. And we will inform them about that, you know, in the interest of them having the information so that they can think about that as they make decisions going forward.
Of course, because each decision, you know, it's subjective. It depends on patient preferences and obviously their lifestyle and family histories as well. I know historically women have used various fertility control methods to prevent pregnancy, such as taking their basal body temperature or monitoring their cervical mucus. But I think there's now a misconception in our generation that these methods are a reliable form of contraception. And I know you said earlier, they're not the most reliable. So can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, so I mean, I suppose the best way to look at the reliableness of a form of contraception is to consider the number of women who will become pregnant using a particular method in a year. And if you use no contraception whatsoever, 85 women out of 100 will expect to become pregnant in the first year.
Wow.
In women, interestingly, in women who are aged between 19 and 26, 92% will conceive after 1 year. So it's higher, again, the younger you are. With fertility awareness techniques, 25 women out of 100 would expect to be pregnant. You would expect 25 out of 100 to be pregnant at the end of 1 year. With the withdrawal method, you'd expect 27 women out of 100 to be pregnant. So that's one in four women using this method, either of these methods, will be pregnant at the end of a year, and probably skewed a little higher in women who are, 19 to 26, which is fine if, as I said earlier, if pregnancy is okay. But if you're in, you know, in the middle of a master's degree, or, you know, a college course like you've just completed yourself, Jess, that's not going to be welcome news.
No. So then, in relation to the pill, how effective is that in preventing pregnancy?
Again, the pill, when you look at the statistics for the pill, with typical, there's always, they break it into two groups, and there's typical use, and then there's typical use, which is real people like us, and then there's perfect use. And with perfect use, you know, the figures, I don't know anybody who's perfect. So the figures you'll come out with when you look at the pill is that the sort of number of pregnancies per 100 women in a year with the combined pill and the mini pill would be about 8 women out of 100 women using these methods over a year might expect to get pregnant.
Okay, so it is a reliable form of contraception.
It's certainly it is a reliable form of contraception, and it's very accessible, it's safe, and it's a hell of a lot more effective than either no contraception or the other methods that we talked about.
So Aideen, would you mind telling me, does the pill cause weight gain?
So for most women, pills, you know, they're highly effective contraception, and they're really, really unlikely to affect, to cause any weight gain. The reality is that most women will slowly gain weight over the years. And interestingly, this affects both women who take hormonal contraception and women who don't. And there's no statistically significant difference between those two groups of women. And interestingly, there is also no link found between hormone dosage. So if you were taking a really high dose pill or a really low dose pill, the women in those two groups, you would expect the women on the higher dose to gain more weight if it was a hormone driven thing. And there is no evidence that that happens. So the answer to your question is no, there is no evidence that the pill leads to any significant level of weight gain. Other than that, that is going to naturally happen to people as they grow older.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And then, so we spoke a little bit about the pill. Is there any other kind of common forms of short-acting contraception that we could maybe touch on? I know there's the ring or the patch. What are your opinions on those?
Yeah, I mean, they're very, I suppose the ring and the patch, they're right up there in the same level of effectiveness as the combined pill. So they would come in at about the 8 to 9 per 100 women per year. That's the level of effectiveness that you'll get with those. I suppose the issue I would have as a doctor with patients using these is people don't believe the patch isn't going to fall off, and people don't always like the idea of the ring. So sometimes people would, you know, struggle to actually like the form of contraception, and they're just happier to take a pill. The benefits of both the ring and the patch is that the way the hormone is delivered, less actual hormone is going through your system. So for people who are really interested in lowering their hormone level, certainly the ring and the patch, they are very attractive options.
That is really interesting, because I think women are more conscious now of, you know, what they're putting into their bodies. So there's less systemic absorption, I suppose, from the patch and the
That's right.
Do they have an effect on our periods? Because obviously when we stop taking the pill, we get a withdrawal bleed. Does the same happen?
Yeah, it works exactly the same. So with the patch, what happens is you start the patch on the first day of your cycle, and you attach it to a part of your body where it's not going to be visible, and you change the patch once a week. And then on the fourth week, you have no patch. And during that patch-free week, you would get a 3 to 4 days into that gap, you would expect to get a period, and you'd expect that period to last 3 to 4 days. The ring, it is inserted at the beginning of the cycle, and it stays in for 21 days. You take it out after 21 days, and the same thing happens 3 to 4 days into the break. You get a period which lasts about 3 to 4 days.
Okay, so they have similar efficacy. Is there any effect on return to fertility with any of these methods?
There's no evidence that hormonal contraception will affect future fertility, but it is important to know that it's less easy to get pregnant as you get older. Some of the figures that I think are quite impressive are that between the age of 19 to 26, if you come off all contraception, 92% of women will get pregnant within a year, 98% within 2 years. Between 35 and 39, 10% less, so 82% will conceive after a year. and it comes down from 98% to 90% after 2 years. So those are, you know, figures of it's harder to get pregnant after the age of 30. That's between 35 and 39. That the rate at which a person will become pregnant in the year after they stop contraception. So is there any evidence that the pill affects it? No, and it's not the pill that affects the fertility. It is, you know, that those figures would be across all women, not using contraception.
So it's more just a natural decline in fertility due to our age rather than due to...
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a little bit like the natural tendency to gain a little weight as people get older. It's something that happens that we can't change.
Okay, thanks for that. So I wanted to do a little quick fire round of questions. So some of these are based on findings from the Dublin Well Woman Clinic. So firstly, true or false, the failure rate for the pill is actually 9%.
I think I'm going to say true to that.
Yes, that is true. So our second one, true or false, you cannot get pregnant on your period.
Big false.
I know. So I think that is a common misconception, because I remember when I was younger, you know, me and my friends, that we believed that.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we weren't really taught about it, or it wasn't spoken about, but we all thought that, oh gosh, you're on your period, that you can't get pregnant. That's a big fat false.
Big fat false is what we're going to call that guy. Yeah. Okay. For sure.
So the next one, true or false, a condom has an 18% failure rate.
Condom has an 18% failure rate is correct.
Yes.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's if when it's used properly.
That is quite high. I was quite shocked actually when I saw that statistic myself.
I know. And I put condoms over there in that category of it's okay if pregnancy is a happy accident, but it's certainly not up in the reliable category.
Or also, I suppose, for protecting against, you know, STIs as well. So it can work maybe with taking the pill.
Yes, absolutely.
So then 18% of women aged 17 to 24 believe that the withdrawal method offers 100% protection from getting pregnant. Is this true or false?
Again, this is another big fat false, because the figures there would be that at least, you know, one in four people using the withdrawal method for a year will be pregnant at the end of that year.
Wow.
It's a highly ineffective form of contraception.
Thanks for that. And then my last one, which you've actually touched on. So the pill delays fertility. I think there's a lot of women out there that would have this kind of concern. Obviously, when you're 17, 18, you're probably not looking towards family planning. But it is good to know that the pill, there is no evidence to suggest that there's any sort of impact on our fertility.
That's right. I mean, and it's clear the women who, you know, you compare women like for like with women who never used hormonal contraception, and the same numbers will actually apply. So, you know, if you never took the pill, you're still less likely to get pregnant if you wait until the age of 39 to try and get pregnant.
So Aideen, just to finish, short acting contraception is something that we can all talk to our GP about, is that correct?
Yes, Jess. It's short acting contraception. It's a reliable form of contraception. It's accessible. It's affordable. And your GP will be happy to talk to you about starting you on an appropriate form of contraception that meets your medical needs.
Perfect. I could sit here for hours with you talking about this topic, but unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. So I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know that our listeners will have learned a huge amount about short acting contraception. So thank you so much. Thank you for listening to My Contraception and Sexual Health. We hope that this show has supported you in finding out more about your body and how to select the form of contraception that best suits you. You can find all the information relating to this episode on the mycontraception.ie website. If you think others can benefit from this series, please rate, leave a review, or share across using the social hashtag MyContraception. For further information and support, visit mycontraception.ie. This show is supported by Bayer. If you want to report a side effect or quality complaint for any contraceptive product, please contact your healthcare professional or report them to the Health Products Regulatory Authority via the Bayer.ie website.